Hello?
Tully?
Yes.
Hi, it's Jonathan Hood from The Score in Chicago.
How you doing, Jonathan?
Good, Tully. We're ready for a quick interview. Is that still a good time for you?
Yeah, they're just trying, the lady's trying to explain to me how I can or cannot get on this plane.
I'll listen in if you want me to. I'll wait for you.
No, go ahead. I got to do a radio interview. Can I do that? Okay.
All right. This is going to be real quick for you, okay?
Oh, no, it's no problem. The planes are late here in Atlanta, and I've been trying to get here since 6 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife had some problems last night, and I needed to take her to the hospital this morning. And she sat in the emergency room till 3 this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And took her and the children back home. And the only way for me to save this company about $800 was to fly standby.
Because
if I'd have rechanged my ticket, it would have cost one day purchase, all the gaga.
Yeah. Sounds like a mess. It's a mess.
Oh, it's a mess. Yeah, and I'm not there yet, and I'm still on standby, and it's a full plane.
Boy. Man, why don't you just give them the full horseman sign? Is that good enough?
There you go.
Give them four. Maybe you can get first class that way.
I think that carries more weight in Chicago than it does here in Atlanta.
All right.
Gracious.
Well, let me start it the right way. Hang on a second, all right?
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
And now, the U.S. heavyweight champion from San Antonio, Texas, accompanied tonight by Baby Doll, a perfect 10. Ladies and gentlemen, weighing in tonight at 235 pounds, Blanchard.
Oh, those are the adulted tones of Tom Miller introducing our guest here on WrestleManiacs on The Score. Sports Radio 1160, the Heroes of Wrestling Extravaganza takes place tomorrow, Sunday, October 10th. A number of heroes of wrestling, and one of them right now, Tullstar, Tully Blanchard, joins us here on The Score. Hey, Tully.
Jonathan, how you doing, man?
Good.
Of all the matches in the world, you had to get that one.
Well, I'm not going to... Now, Tom Miller was the ring announcer for a lot of them. But I won't say where that was. That could have been anywhere. That could have been on Worldwide. That could have been in Georgia.
Oh, No. That was Greensboro Coliseum, 1985, Starcade I Quit match, Magnum TA.
Yeah.
I know exactly where that was.
I want to hide that. See, I was going to pull an interview with you ranting and raving about Dusty Rhodes, but I didn't want to scare anybody.
Oh, yeah, but that's what they remember, me ranting and raving about Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Tell us about the pay-per-view now. Coming up tomorrow, it's going to be a lot of guys. King Kong Bundy will be part of it. Jimmy Superfly, Snuka, George the Animal Steel. You can still take a lot of these guys.
You know, it is, I'm thrilled that they offered me enough money to get me out of retirement. But I'm looking forward to it. Worked out not as hard as I could have probably, but still I've got four children now and got to give them a little bit of time and trying to learn how to play a little golf. But I've worked out pretty hard for this thing so I can survive it, number one. But, you know, I'm getting ready. I'm going to be able to see a bunch of guys that I haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward to, especially Gordon Solie, the dean of wrestling commentators, and I haven't seen Gordon in a number of years, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I tell you, I've done a number of interviews here lately. It seems like nobody wants to talk to me except when I come out of retirement, so that's kind of neat. But the one question I get, Jonathan, and Chicago is probably, there's more fond memories of my career in Chicago. And the things that happened and the sold-out arenas there at the ICU Pavilion and later with the WWF out there at the Rosemont Horizon and hanging around with Bruce MacArthur and some of the Wurtz people and out on their boats and staying down at the Bismarck Hotel and running wild at the Snuggery, if the Snuggery is even still there. Chicago was the horseman's town.
Mm-hmm.
And golly, it was just the Thanksgiving Day when we wrestled the Road Warriors. It was just a great, great time. I wish that I would have been nostalgia-minded when I was going to all these big cities and remembering and getting the most out of the places that I have been and traveled. But the one thing that I get nowadays from most people is, you know, guy, it's just not the same as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I don't ramble too much, but, you know, it's not the same as it used to be because the people involved, I think, have achieved it too easily. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're making too much money, and not that they're not worth the money, but they haven't paid their dues.
Tully,
I don't appreciate it.
And Tully, when you talk about paying your dues, you might be referring to when you were in the NWA under Jim Crockett Promotions, and you're going to the Great American Bash, and you're going through those tour dates, and you're wrestling night after night after night. Meanwhile, you look at some of the calendar dates now for some of the organizations. You know, if a guy wrestles once or twice a week, he's pretty lucky. And the house shows don't mean as much as they did when you were wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm really getting at is the thing that the guys nowadays, and here again, I'm just speculating because I don't know a lot of them. I haven't talked to the ones I do know in a long time. Is we went out night after night, 335 days a year, and entertained the wrestling fan because we needed them to come back the next time we came to the city because that's how we got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we ate, and that's how we kept that jet flying and limousine riding lifestyle. And, you know, nowadays, it doesn't seem like, I mean, they go out and do their thing, and they get out and take their money all the way to the bank, and I'm happy for them making the money. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I was raised, my dad taught me, and I'm one of the few second-generation guys that's still around, you know, that somebody pays $8, they deserve $8 worth of your energy.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
And that's the way I was trained, and that's the way I grew up, and that's the way I did it. And that's the way I'm going to do it tomorrow night. I'm going to give whoever buys that pay-per-view, and I, from what I understand, it's not even that expensive as pay-per-views go. I'm going to give whoever tunes in the absolute 100% of my energy and my effort. Now, it might not be the way it was in 1985 when I was 33 years old,
Right.
But it's certainly going to be everything that I can muster my body up to do. And I can promise you I'm not going to bend over and hold on to the rope and limp around on and never go down on the mat.
Right.
Does this sound like I'm venting?
No, you're a veteran and deservedly so. You can vent because think about what you've done and you compare it to some of the wrestlers today. And not bashing all the wrestlers, but I guess one of the questions I was thinking about coming into this interview is thinking about Jim Crockett Promotions and growing up watching the NWA. If Jim Crockett had the wherewithal that, say, Vince McMahon has with the WWF or what Turner has now, do you feel that that the NWA would still be as strong, and do you feel that wrestling would be a little bit better than it is today?
Well, I think the problem is this. When Crockett was running and he got the TV rights to WTBS and 605, the TV show was named World Championship Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
It was still the NWA. The demographics of the audiences were different. Our people were a little bit more blue collar, middle class, beer drinking, fighting, hellraisers, and the WWF was targeting children more, and because if children were excited about what they were doing, and then they'd bring mom and dad and they'd sell a ticket. You know, I mean, still the object back then was to get people to fill the arenas up. And nowadays, it is, they're both going after the same crowd. I mean, countless numbers of people. Well, we flip and we watch 5 minutes of this and then flip the other channel and flip back and forth. And so you got the same audiences flipping back and forth and back and forth. And I can remember back in 1988, we wrestled in Philadelphia head up with all the WWF guns, Hogan and the whole deal, and Flair wrestled Luger, and we wrestled somebody else. And we did $150,000, and they did $120,000, right across town. Well, those are both great audiences, and it's not that one did better than the other or anything like that, but look at how much money was spent on wrestling in one town in one night. And that shows the two different audiences. Now you got apples and apples. Used to have apples and oranges.
Tully, let me go back. Let me fast forward just a little bit before we go back to the old days and think about 1988-89 when you went to the WWF with Arn Anderson as your tag team partner. Just following your career, you didn't seem to have that same zest. You didn't seem very happy. How disappointed?
I hated the WWF.
Well, it looked like it when you wrestled.
I hated the work environment. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate the WWF. I hated the work environment. Mm-hmm. They were that, and see the thing that really disappointed me, and it took me about 6 months to really grab a hold of this. So we got recruited. Pat Patterson came to Milwaukee and said, "Guys, you guys are great." You know, so we flew up, met with Vince, and then some things happened, and we decided to leave, or I decided to leave, and Arn came with me. And the thing that really made me mad was Vince had an opportunity to get some guys that were nationwide over, and it'd be like hiring Deion Sanders
uh-huh.
to your football team.
Uh-huh.
You put him in, and it helps the entire program, the whole team.
Uh-huh.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And what Vince did was get us over there, and he really didn't care whether we helped his program or not. He took us to try to tear away the other company, and it did what he wanted. And I didn't like being that kind of a pawn. You know, we could have really done some big business and big things for the WWF. And just performance-wise, I mean, they had to use us to a degree, and we took their C-team towns from losers to big winners.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a business standpoint, we were very, very good for the WWF. But when you know you're put in that kind of a manipulated type setting, it probably came through, because I don't hide my emotions very well.
Mm-hmm.
Never have, never will be able to, because I don't play those kind of games. You know, but it did affect everything I did, and it probably did come through to a degree. We still worked very, very hard
mm-hmm.
in the ring, but it had to come through a little bit.
It was just totally different for me. I could just tell, just watching you wrestling, there was a little bit of a difference. As we talked to Tully Blanchard here on the Score, Sports Radio 1160 with WrestleManiac. Sorry, Tully, tell the truth. What was better for you? Who was the better valet? Was it Baby Doll or was it Dark Journey?
Oh my gosh! Who was there the longest?
It was. I guess it answers the question. But who's all right? Let me put it this way: who was the better partier?
Don't know. Didn't party with either one of them.
Okay.
That was strictly business.
All those towns you went to, you guys all partied.
Oh, we had a couple of cocktails. I mean, you know, but I mean, I didn't. That was business. I couldn't. If I'd have got involved with either one of those ladies at all, then I couldn't have corrected and scolded or whatever when it came time for business. Baby Doll was there for over a year,
mm-hmm.
and Dark Journey was there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are they doing now? Have you talked to them at all?
I talked to Baby Doll about 4 or 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the other one I've never talked to.
Okay.
So,
oh, I've always wondered about that. You know, sitting at home as a fan, you always wonder.
That was punishment for me.
Okay.
That was somebody's idea to punish me.
Really?
Yeah.
To have a valet. I mean, you were a good worker on your own, but I just thought...
Well, the Baby Doll thing got over.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like $1 million.
Uh-huh.
The other thing didn't get over, and that was punishment. So I made some of the decision makers mad.
Tully, talk to us about your teaming with Arn Anderson. How much fun was that for you? And just sort of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Arn. What kind of person was he? And what was he as a tag team partner?
I think that Arn Anderson and I, and we've been called the greatest tag team in professional wrestling by a number of people in the back scenes. I don't know about publicly. Arn and I were probably as good a tag team as ever was in professional wrestling. We weren't a gimmick. We could go out and make the Road Warriors look great, or we could go out with Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil and steal the show, or we could go out with two guys that weren't a tag team at all and steal the show. And that is a tribute to the meshing of the two things. We weren't two guys trying to do the same things. We each had a different role, and it worked really, really well. The majority of the time, Arn and I got along great. Arn had his peculiarities. I had my peculiarities. And whenever you're with somebody night and day, 7 days a week, traveling for 5 years, you have some fallings out. And, you know, I mean, Arn and I got in a fight over four slices of pizza one time in Knoxville. So, I mean, you know, you just get a little frazzled.
Uh-huh.
And, but that happens with anybody.
Tully, it has been said, Ric Flair has said it before, just in interview situations, that, you know, living the life as a horseman, the way you guys portrayed it on interviews was really real life. I mean, you talk about going from town to town and partying and stuff like that. How true was some of that stuff, you know, going out and partying? Would you go from town to town, and would people recognize you? And how was that life growing up, you know, looking... And to be a horseman, what was that like going from town to town?
It was a hard life.
Uh-huh.
Man, I mean, when we talk about being jet flying and limousine riding, we weren't telling a lie. If it was a lie and if it was some charade, you would have seen through it as a fan. Wrestling fans would have seen through it because we never did. When we hit the snuggery and the limousines dropped us off at the end of the block when they had on Friday and Saturday nights when they had Division Street knocked off. I mean, when we walked in, the horsemen were there. The snuggery was jammed, and they wouldn't let us spend a penny. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, we rocked and rolled until 4 a.m. and then hit the Yudo place across the street.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I mean, certainly we had to take a few nights off, but every now and then, when we got on there and talked about being at the Airport Marriott or being here or being there, I can promise you, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
With bells on and ready to roll.
Tully, okay, we're talking about talking to Tully Blanchard again. The pay-per-view takes place tomorrow, Sunday, October 10th. The Heroes of Wrestling from Casino Magic in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. If Tully can get there, there'll be a 7 o'clock starting time exclusively on pay-per-view. King Kong Bundy, Superfly Snuka. Talk about your singles career, though. I think that's a little bit underrated. I've always said that you're probably the greatest television champion ever in the history of WCW/NWA. Talk about your singles competition and who is the toughest guy that you've ever faced.
Well, I if there's anything that I was underachieved in my career, it was my singles, because when we, Arn and I, became tag team partners and won the World Tag Team Champions and then went to the WWF, you know, I got labeled as a tag team wrestler, and I was much better by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And understandably so, you don't have to depend on anybody. There are no other moves, there are no other thoughts, there are no than your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can take a match wherever you want to take it. And I was some of the matches that I've had with Magnum and Wahoo and Ronnie Garvin and Dusty. I mean, I hate to sound egotistical, but I've had some of the greatest matches with Dusty Rhodes that Dusty's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I could wrestle him for how long? 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
5 years? Well, nobody could ever wrestle Dusty for 5 years and still survive.
Mm-hmm. And it got over.
Oh, yeah.
Every
and didn't kill me.
Tully, that's...
I was still a commodity when it was over with.
Oh, yeah. Tully, what about that the slingshot suplex? Where'd you come up with that, and why was that your finisher rather than something else?
Because it was, nobody else did it. Nobody else ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
I got it from Sergeant Slaughter. I watched him take guys and drop them on the top rope,
mm-hmm.
Up like a suplex and drop them on the top rope.
Right.
And I said, man, if he can do that, I'll bet you I can take a guy and bounce him off the top rope and suplex him.
Well, you did that with Dusty Rhodes, and he was 300 pounds. I can't believe you did that night after night.
I didn't do it night after night, but I've slingshotted some great big guys. I got bloody noses and hernias doing it too. But it's a thing that nobody ever used, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just came and went on and went with it. So it was neat.
Tell you, there's still a lot of fond NWA fans out there that listen to WrestleManiacs as we do this show every Saturday night. Is there, you know, we talked about the Horsemen. Is there someone else that was in that locker room that you really liked a lot back in those NWA days that you really had a lot of respect for his work, or just a guy that you really liked a lot?
I had very few friends in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I hung out with Rick and Arn and JJ and Barry when he was there, and Barry liked to go do his own thing a little bit. But I was always, being second generation, I was more friends with the guys like Nick Bockwinkel and Dufez and my dad's generation than I was the guys my own generation. Don't know why that was, but those are the guys, I guess, that I looked up to and learned from and asked questions of, and Terry and Dory and Harley and that kind of stuff. Because they molded me more than anybody else, and those are the people not trying to diss anybody by any means,
mm-hmm.
but those are the guys that taught me and took the time to mold me into what I became.
Tully, last thing we have for you, and we appreciate you joining us, is did Eric Bischoff at any time ask you to come to the WCW?
No, Eric Bischoff doesn't like me.
Why is that? You're a likable fellow. See, I liked you as a growing up watching you.
Well,
is it because you speak your mind?
When Eric Bischoff was in with the AWA,
uh-huh.
right after I left the WWF, okay, I left a part out of a match that I wasn't planning on, and Vern came in the dressing room screaming and hollering at me, and I said, "Vern, my God," and I walked out. I mean, it really was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the finish was what they wanted and what they got, and I got beat, but I left out a part of a match, and it was my fault, but it's because I hadn't been wrestling in a while, and I just forgot. I mean, I was in there with Brad Rangins, and they forgot to give a guy a comeback.
Uh-huh.
And so that's Eric's first thought of me. And then in 1994, when I went to do the Legends reunion with Terry Funk on their pay-per-view in Philadelphia, they walked in and said, "We want you to do this." And I said, "I'm not doing that." I said, "My God, I'm a bigger star in Philadelphia than Terry Funk ever thought about." I mean, I didn't say that part of it. But I mean, you know, and I love Terry. And I love Terry. I mean, my gosh. But I mean, you know, I mean, they're crazy. I mean, I walked out on that pay-per-view, if anybody watched it. I mean, there was more Four Horsemen fans in the world in Philadelphia.
Right.
You know, and so you've got two situations where a guy, you know, you get a negative opinion of a guy.
Because,
I mean, I haven't said two words to Eric Bischoff, really.
Uh-huh.
And then in 1992, they tried to book me and have the original Four Horsemen back on a pay-per-view.
Right, that's what I was getting at.
But I told them, I wrote them all a letter. Dusty was the booker, and Ole was the GM, and Bischoff was just the TV guy. And I wrote them all a letter 6 weeks in advance. I said, "Guys, I'm not coming." I said, "Y'all want to give me some horse manure contract?" They offered me $500 a day with no guarantees. And they were paying these guys $1 million a week. They wanted to get a hold on their salary cap. I said, "Guys, you ain't going to start with me. Offer me something worthwhile, or I'm not going to do it."
Right.
So I didn't show up. So you got three different situations where a guy gets a negative opinion of you. And, I mean, he doesn't know my thoughts or my insight into this business at all. And, but he's out now, so who knows what will happen now.
Yeah, I'm wondering. Hopefully it'll be for the best for that company and just for wrestling overall. Sunday, October 10th, the Heroes of Wrestling. Do you know your opponent yet tomorrow at the Casino Magic in Bay St. Louis?
Yeah, I'm wrestling with Stan Lane.
Oh, that'll be easy. My God, I thought it was one of these other guys I see on my sheet. Stan Lane, my God. That would be about 6 minutes. That's like wrestling, you know, Ricky Nelson or somebody. I mean, That's like in the little peach tree studio. That should be easy for you. Stan Lane. My God.
I didn't book it.
Yeah, I know. That should be no problem for you there. I think we're gonna talk to Stan later on. I'll probably say the opposite when he comes on.
Good.
Tully, I really appreciate it. As a Four Horsemen fan, going way back, this has been a real treat for me. I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, I'd be happy to do your show anytime you want, and it doesn't have to be surrounded by a pay-per-view.
All right.
So you just call me up at Charlotte, and if you want to do a program and do something that somebody will shoot you straight on the interview, I'll be happy to do it.
Well, Tully, I appreciate it, man. Good luck on the paper. Good luck on your 6 or 7 minute win over Stan Lane. We appreciate it, man.
I just want this lady to let me on this plane so bad I cannot even stand it.
All right, Tully.
I still have back, so I'm staying over in Atlanta, so I don't need to be here.
No, can't do that.
Okay, Jonathan, you have a great night. I hope that your show is a great success tonight and that many, many people listen and they have a little bit of a trip down memory lane.
Well, we appreciate it, Tully. Thank you.
Okay.